Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Support for Armchair and the Saints Happy Hour podcast comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you using on your balls. That's just nasty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code ARMCHAIR.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Held. We are the perfect blend of Saints sincerity and stupidity.
Oh, now that's a good question. That is a damn good question. You see, Ralph, that's why you're the host. That's why you're
That is a good question by me. Usually I just stumble over it and you say, is there a question in there? And I'm like, not really.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Saints Happy Hour podcast as we trudge onward through the offseason, waiting to know if Drew Brees is going to retire, if he's going to play another year, and when free agency starts. I have a hot take that is so hot, it is going to melt your face. I have combined Tom Brady, Taysom Hill, and Drew Brees into the perfect, hottest Taysom Hill take that is imaginable. We'll get to that in a minute. We have the full boat tonight. Dave, Andrew, Kevin, they're all here. Gentlemen, how are you doing tonight?
Are we supposed to all answer that collectively?
Yeah. Don't everybody rush.
Ready? Three, two, one. I'm doing
good.
Great. You know, taking it day by day.
So, here's my question. Here's my theory, Dave, of how Tom Brady is the Saints' starting quarterback in 2020. Okay? Here's how it goes. Here's how it goes. Okay? So, Drew Brees retires, and the Saints put a first-round tender on Taysom. So, they think they got it all covered. But then Belichick swoops in and signs Taysom to an offer sheet that the Saints can't match because it's ridiculous. And then Brady, in a fit of rage, calls up Sean Payton and says, let's fucking do this. Tom Brady, starting quarterback for the Saints 2020. What do you think?
That's just so crazy it might work, Ralph.
So, here's my question to you, Andrew. Not that it's plausible, because I don't want you to deconstruct it with facts and knowledge and stuff like that. But the question I'm going to pose to you is, if I told you the Saints could win a Super Bowl, but Brady had to be the quarterback, would you rather that, or would you rather another year of Brees, but you're not guaranteed a Super Bowl.
In this hypothetical with Tom Brady as the quarterback, do we also sweep the Falcons?
Yes.
Okay, I do it.
Kevin, would you do it? Would you take a Super Bowl with Brady, but you have to kick Breeze into retirement for it?
Wait a minute. You're saying kick Breeze into retirement. Before, you just said Breeze chose to
retire. Like, you could pick. Like, it does. You can pick. You either get Brady, guaranteed Super Bowl, or you get Breeze one more year. But you're not guaranteed a Super Bowl. They might be good. They might make the playoffs. They'd probably be pretty good. They'd probably be 12-4-ish. But you're not guaranteed a Super Bowl. Jeopardy music or something.
Yeah, no. This is a real Sophie's choice here.
Does it make it harder or easier if I told you you could have Brady win the Super Bowl 100% with the Saints, or you could have Drew Brees one more year, the Saints are 14-2 and the number one seed in the NFC? Does it make it harder or easier?
Slightly easier.
To take Brees or Brady?
Oh, no. Okay. It makes...
Oh, my God, Kevin. Jesus Christ.
It makes me lean toward Brees then when you say 14-2 in the number one seed, because otherwise I'm really leaning towards Brady.
I love that Ralph told me, specifically gave me instructions to not deconstruct with facts, to not go all analytical. So I just gave you what you wanted. I gave you the answer without thinking about it too much. And then we get this shit from Kevin.
Ralph, you literally need to clip this and use this in the intro for Juge.
There's your next open.
Yeah. I'll say keep Breeze.
Jesus. Here's a little behind the curtain.
By the way, that guy is stable. From that car crash.
Jesus.
Wow. See, I told you.
Oh, good.
Here's those
cars, man.
Here's a little behind the scenes look behind the curtain. I was talking to Andrew yesterday, and we did the podcast for Monday morning. By the way, you should subscribe. $7. You get a podcast every day, and you get swag. And we have some cool new swag on the way for current patrons and future patrons. You should do it. Sign up. But me and Andrew were talking behind the curtain, and we were talking about how we make the magic happen on the podcast. And I was saying, I don't know how to make it happen, because to make it happen, I have to make one of you mad. And we just did it, Andrew. You got all mad, and we got a new open. So I went to the XFL yesterday, my lovely family.
Yeah, how was that? You went to the Houston Renegades, is that correct?
The Houston Roughnecks, man.
The Houston Roughnecks. We're 2-0.
2-0. They have a quarterback, Peter Parker, I think is his name.
Are you kidding me? You have fucking Spider-Man as your fucking quarterback?
PJ Parker is his name, but Peter Parker.
Close enough, right? The P might stand for Peter. We don't know. Yeah.
It was.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Great, man. We had a.
What stadium was this at? Let's slow down. What stadium was this?
It's the TDACX, whatever. It's the University of Houston. It's their new stadium. It's like 2 years old.
Okay.
So it's super nice. Sight lines are great.
Like, what, like 40,000?
Yeah, it's like 45,000. They close the upper decks, so everybody's down low in the lower bowl. $24.
Attendance.
It was 17,000. They said.
Okay.
So it was the bottom level was pretty much full.
Like a two-lane game. It's like
They didn't have cheerleaders. That was a negative. Mm. And they didn't have a halftime show. That enraged my child. And more importantly, it enraged
my wife.
She wanted a halftime show. But they had prices were cheap. It moved super fast because the clock never stopped. So that was good. And I have to tell you, the Roughnecks logo is so much superior to the Texans logo. It's not even funny. And that merchandise stand that they have, it was fucking running out of merchandise for the Roughnecks.
Really?
Like, that's how much.
This is now we're talking my language here. This is, you know.
I bought a Roughneck shirt. I'm a Roughneck fan now for life.
Wow.
But I have to say, like, the football quality, it was okay. I mean, and I would go again because my son was super excited to go, and total out of pocket everything was like $160, including the parking and the tickets and the food and the, you know. So I would do it again.
That's pretty good. For three people.
What would that be in comparison to an NFL game?
Oh, the NFL game, it would have cost me.
The tickets alone would have been $160.
The tickets alone in the lower bowl in the corner for the Texans would have been at least, I would say, probably would have cost that, set me back at least $500, at least $175 apiece. You know, the concession prices were okay, not great. But here's my question about the XFL that I was leading into is. And I'll start with you, Andrew, since you got upset, and you can use facts and data for this question. Whoever the XFL champion is, let's say it's the Roughnecks, they go undefeated, 72 Dolphin style. Could the XFL champion defeat the team the Saints start in their fourth preseason game?
Ooh.
Because I feel like that's where the XFL and the NFL meet. Like, that's the...
Yeah, that's where they intersect, because you're basically talking about guys that aren't going to cut it, that aren't going to make 53-man rosters, that are going to be your final cut guys. I mean, guys like Tommy Lee Lewis and, you know, Kikaha and, I mean...
Joe Morgan.
Cardale Jones. Yeah, I mean, those are the guys that are playing in the XFL.
Adrian Arrington.
J.D. Barrett.
I agree that that's the level. I guess, so... I mean, I'm assuming under this hypothetical, the Saints would actually try to win as opposed to see how the players are doing.
Yeah, like you'd have to beat the XFL. You can't lose the XFL champion.
So it would be Sean Payton actually game planning and trying to make the most of what he has to work with.
Yeah.
There's no vanilla game plan. Like, he's actually trying to win a game. I would say that the X factor would be the coaching. You know, and that, so I think it's probably a wash in terms of talent. You know, the XFL, you know, there might be more young players, so maybe they're a little bit more prone to mistakes on the Saints just because it's more like UDFAs, you know, whereas the XFL is more like veteran rejects. So I would maybe give a slight advantage to the XFL, especially since they would have success already, since they were the best team. But I would say there's an X factor with the NFL team, and I'm assuming that the Saints would be hosting that game. So I'd say, see, the thing is, the Saints will still have to use their kicker, right? Because they only carry one kicker and one punter. So Lutz and Morstead are still playing in that game. And I just think if it comes down to a field goal, the XFL guy is choking, and Will Lutz is winning the game.
Here's my question to you, Kevin. Would you be interested in watching the XFL champion play the Saints' fourth preseason starting team if it was wrestling style, loser leaves town and can't play football ever again?
I mean, I'd probably watch it anyway if it was on a network. if it was on network television. You don't need to do the loser leaves town thing. Honestly, I thought you were going to ask, should the XFL champion get a chance to face the team with the worst record in the NFL to try and replace them? That would be fun to watch.
I thought of that, but unless it's like 0-16 Cleveland Browns and you have incompetent coaching with Hugh Jackson, I think like the worst team in the NFL this year, Cincinnati, would house an XFL team. Although relegation would be delightful because people, if you follow the EPL, the thing that relegation makes English soccer teams do is they will fucking panic fire everybody like 4 weeks into a season because they'll be like, we're bottom of the table. This cannot stand. We cannot go down to the minor leagues. So you would have abject panic. The problem is the Saints, if they had relegation in the NFL, they'd be a Kenner club team by now because of the 1970s. But irregardless of that, have you guys been watching the XFL? Did you watch week two?
Wait. First of all, I didn't get to answer the question.
Okay, go.
And second of all, Ralph, I don't know whether you've done your thorough research on your hometown XFL team, the Houston Roughnecks. Do you know who the director of player personnel is for the Houston Roughnecks?
I don't know. Who is it? Is it a former?
It's Randy Mueller.
Oh my
no
god! Falling. You talk about a fall, man. Good.
I am not even lying. I just fucking looked that up right now.
No way.
Swear to God. So that changes my answer.
Is Rick Mueller on his staff?
Oh my god! I can't believe. See, we really have not been diving into
XFL
into this. Rick. Rick Mueller is not on the staff as far as the front office.
That would have been amazing because the president of the Roughnecks actually came to our section and was shaking hands, thanking people for coming out. Which, oh, by the way, Loomis ain't never done that. Not at once.
Step your game up,
yeah,
Loomis.
I'm
mad at Loomis. How could he have not traded for Darius Slay and gotten that contract done already today?
But can you imagine, Dave, if Randy Mueller had come, had been walking around the stadium shaking people's hands, thanking them? I'd have been like, Randy, why did you talk to the Falcons when the Saints told you not to, and then you got fired, and it's been a downward spiral ever since, and here you are.
Wait, so
Ralph really would have said that too.
I would have. My wife would have been horrified.
My wife.
My wife.
My wife.
Lady on the trigger.
To answer your original question about who would win, I don't know whether you guys, I actually pulled up the roster for the Saints for the fourth preseason game. It's not too shabby. We're talking Teddy Bridgewater, first of all, is your starting quarterback. That's not too bad.
Shy Tuttle was in that game.
Shy Tuttle. It up. He was
Shy
in the game,
Tuttle
he,
probably made the roster not, off of that game, right, Andrew?
Yeah,
he might have, but he technically was not a starter. But Ozigbo was your starting running back. Deontay Harris was your starting wide receiver. And then you had Will Clapp, Nick Easton, Omame. You had those guys on the line. Now on defense, you had C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who was awesome. And then you had Patrick Robinson, the veteran, and you've got Ken Crawley, Chris Banjo, Taylor Stallworth. That's pretty good.
Sounds like an XFL team to me.
No, those guys would beat
I don't
the shit
know,
out of
man.
An XFL team. Those guys would beat the shit out of an XFL. Yeah, team.
So speaking of winning in the XFL, you'll notice that in our little adopted son competition. My boy, so first of all, Kevin, let's quickly take stock of where we're at. Kevin picked Garrett Hartley, or actually he didn't have a chance to pick Garrett Hartley, so he missed that show, so we just gave him Garrett Hartley. But Kevin's kind of always had a thing for Hartley, so I knew that he would be fine with that selection.
Yeah,
Hartley did not make a team, so he's out.
I know.
Dave, can you give us a quick update on your two-lane guy?
I mean, I don't know whether he's on a roster anymore or not. He was on the Battle Hawks. I mean, I just looked up the stats from the last Battle Hawks game. And he certainly didn't have any stats. So I would say so far it's been a dud for Sherman Beatty.
Not looking too good for you.
Sherman Beatty.
Can you report on Simi Cobbs?
He had no catches and no targets from any box score I saw from the defenders.
Well, you know who did have a forced fumble in his game? Kikaha, baby.
Kikaha really is my guy.
So you know what that means? Once again, after the whole Granderson thing with the Saints, our little UDFA competition, once again, my adopted XFL player, Haole Kikaha, is ahead in the competition thanks to a forced fumble, which means, yet again, that me and my adopted sons always win.
Jesus. Kikaha really is the perfect.
I should adopt a real kid and just do the world a favor.
You should. Since
clearly, all I do is adopt winners.
Kikaha, though, is the perfect XFL player because he would have been good enough in the NFL, but he got injured. And 80% of Kikaha is not NFL quality, but 80% of Kikaha is a really good XFL player. He really was the perfect XFL pick.
And yeah, but Fredo makes a good point that he may not last more than a couple more weeks.
Yeah. You're bragging on him, but when he ruptures both Achilles next week, you won't.
If he lasts 8 more weeks, that's the entire season. He'll go. That will be the first time he'll ever go an entire season.
I mean, the XFL though, I like it because it's filler, man. I would watch almost any kind of football except Canadian. I don't watch football from other planets. Andrew's dad says the Saints would win 50-7. That's probably right. The thing is, to me, with the XFL is I want Vince McMahon back, Kevin. I liked it when he was stalking the sidelines and screaming, "This is the XFL." I feel like they're trying to be like a legitimate football league. I liked it 20 years ago when Vince McMahon had it doing the comedy routine and all the weird stuff. Although the 3-point conversion, fans are fucking obsessed with it at the game. Every touchdown for either team.
But nobody's doing it, though, right?
That's what the fans want you to do it. They were literally chanting, "Go 4-3 after every touchdown. Even the opposing team, they wanted them to do it. Like, it's some sort of exotic thing that fans are dying to see.
Wait, what do you have to do to get 3 points?
You have to
the 15 or the 12 10. Or something?
The 10. You gotta.
What do you have to do? You have to score from the 10.
Yeah. You have to score. Yeah.
But nobody does it. I mean, all the coaches are coaching the game like a real NFL game. So I mean, most of them are just going for one, right?
Yeah. And the kickoff, man. The kickoff is cool. Like you can't kickoff, and the players are like 5 yards apart, and they can't run at each other until the returner catches the ball. And that's a cool return, and because the XFL thought of it, Kevin, the NFL will never, ever implement it, but it's really cool.
You see, here's the thing. I have little to no recollection of the XFL, and I watched the original XFL
He hit me.
Yeah, like that's one of them. Like literally by week 5, it was me, 6 other guys, and He Hate Me's family. That's all that was watching the XFL at that point. So here's what I remember. I remember He Hate Me. I remember the Sky Cam. I remember that on the very first coin toss, which was basically 2 guys racing to the football, on the very first one of those, on the inaugural game in primetime television, one of the guys blew out his knee and was done for the year on that first play. I have no recollection of the cheerleaders in the locker room camera. I have no recollection of the wrestlers showing up. I have no recollection of how piss poor Tommy Maddox was. Nothing.
I remember and David Spade at the Vegas game for some reason.
Like I'm again. I have not watched a full XF of the revamp. I have not watched a full game all the way through, but the small amount that I've seen, I enjoy it. It seems fun. Like they seem to have put the right kind of people in charge, and Vince McMahon, for believe me, many of his faults, he seems to be not all over this product and is trusting the people that he hired to do their job. So
are you saying that Vince McMahon is like the Jerry Jones of wrestling?
Yeah, he's the Jerry. He's I don't even think that's an apt comparison. Like Vince McMahon is just the Vince McMahon of living.
It's interesting to me that he is giving this another try. I would be interested if you could to hear him give like an honest answer of what he like why he thinks it's going to make money. I don't know how it becomes sustainable and people care about it. I mean, like, I watch it. It's fun. It was fun to go to bring my kid. It's cheaper than the NFL. But like being actually interested in giving a shit about it, I don't know how they do that going forward. But maybe
real talk. I think, in all seriousness, what needs to happen is, I mean, there needs to be an exciting game or multiple games, you know, something that's going to get that gets people talking on Monday. Like, hey, did you see what happened in that XFL game? I mean, it could either be a crazy ending, you know, where the 3-point play comes into play somehow, or it could even be almost on the embarrassing side where there's some gaffe, like a refereeing gaffe or whatever. But I mean, really and truly, as far as the XFL is concerned at this point, you know, it's that old saying, even bad publicity is good publicity. But I mean, there needs to be like some crazy close game that goes into like 3 overtimes or whatever the overtime situation is. And you need that to get people excited and to get fans of those teams like really into it. And I mean, that's to me personally, that's what gets me into a team.
I'd hate to see a sport
or anything like that is like being in front of the TV and being like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening and watching it. And then being like, okay, next week. Okay. I got to see what happens now.
I'd hate to see a team lose a chance to play in the XFL championship because of an egregious officiating call.
Yeah,
That'd be horrible. That's never happened though. So, I wouldn't wish that on any fan base.
If they get something like that, you know, in the last game of the season, I don't know, are they going to do playoffs? Playoffs. I mean, they only have 8 teams, so I've just figured everybody.
XFL bowls in Houston, man.
So there is going to be a playoff, but or something like that, or even in the XFL bowl, there's some last second play, referee fucks it up. You know, they need to get people. They just have to have people talking about it. You know, it needs to be water cooler on Monday fodder. That's what it needs to be.
Oh, Ralph, didn't you have a sound clip for me for Kikaha?
Of what? I don't remember.
I thought you said you had a sound clip of him sacking Tom Brady.
No, I had the picture of him on the. On the live stream of him sacking Brady.
Okay.
Yeah. So we didn't mean to make this a XFL podcast, but hey, what the fuck you want, man? The Saints, they don't have any news.
It's February.
It's February. But they got a little bit of news.
I'd rather be talking about the XFL than Gail Benson giving advice to the priests.
Oh my God.
Let's be honest.
I mean, ooh, that's just.
Yeah, when was the last time we talked about that? Have we talked about it since Gail came out with her statement?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I just feel like the judge was talking about it, off saying that they need help. I just think Kevin, that a lot of people probably saw that the Archdiocese, their PR person, was way out of their depth and was like, they need help. Help them. And it's a bad look because it's abused kids, but like, but I mean, like the PR staff, like it, like the Archdiocese, they probably have like one person. She's probably like a 55-year-old lady. Like, do you think they have like a full PR staff? They don't, man. It might even not even be a full time person.
No, hang on a minute, man. Hang on a minute. I'm gonna. This is an Archdiocese of the Catholic Church. Trust me, these fuckers have staff.
All right. I mean, the Pope has staff, but does not.
These people have staff, okay? Now, you may only see the one person get mentioned, like the spokesperson or whatever. They have a staff. Now, is it like robust? Is it as insane as like a political PR campaign? No, but an archdiocese, they have a staff of people that you know, look into shit. Now, I don't know. I don't think it's how can I word this?
Well, the Astros had a PR staff of like 30, and they botched their response to cheating in a way that the whole world was laughing at them. So, just because you had a PR staff doesn't mean you know what you're doing.
No, absolutely. But I mean, the joke for the church would be, oh wait, they have a PR staff that doesn't know how to handle these sorts of allegations that have been plaguing the church for, I don't know, ever. Color me shocked. Mm.
You guys wanna go see a dead body?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, just for clarification here, by the way, I mean, this is taking into account the article that came out a few days ago. You know, a lot of people were wondering how the Saints, you know, how Greg Bensel, the Saints, the front office, how they got connected with the Archdiocese and involved in this whole thing to begin with. And obviously, Tom Benson and, you know, when he was alive, and Gail Benson now, obviously they're good friends with the Archbishop. But there was an article that came out a couple of days ago saying that federal judge Zaney was the one who had the idea. He approached the Archdiocese. I think he approached Archbishop Greg Amon and said, you know, you might want to see about Greg Bensel and the Saints, about maybe they can help you with, you know, with dealing with the media or whatever. So anyway, there's your connection there. That's basically, he was kind of coming out and saying that's how this whole thing came to fruition.
How much of a clusterfuck does your PR have to be that a judge is stepping in and is being like, you know, you might want to get some advice here. Like,
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's fucked, but I mean, I just think, I think all involved parties here are, you know, friendly and Catholic, and, you know, this is New Orleans. Look, this is New Orleans.
Well, the Archdiocese were definitely friendly, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, like, look, this is New Orleans, and it's a small city, and you know, you get to a certain point, and everybody knows everybody, and.
And the Saints run shit, let's be honest.
So, I mean, yeah, well, of course, and everybody, well, I mean, just the Saints have this air, you know, just, I feel like the people that work for the Saints, they feel like they're special because they're the Saints, and obviously the Saints have this, you know, I don't know, je ne sais quoi, or I don't know what you would call it, but I mean, you know, as far as New Orleans is concerned, the Saints are, they're the greatest thing ever.
Dude, if you're in New Orleans and you are in any way...
You use these French terms, je ne sais quoi, I don't know.
Well, I have no idea whether I'm using that appropriately or not, but... seriously, like, the Saints, they're the greatest thing since sliced bread in this entire city.
It is.
And you work...
It is accurate. If you work for the Saints, cover the Saints, or do anything Saints-related,
you think you're hot shit.
Treat you like a fucking rock star. They do, okay? It's just that's just the way it is, man.
Yeah. But that's somewhat off topic. My point is I think, you know, Judge Zaney, he's Catholic. I think he was friends with the Archbishop. Gail Benson, she's Catholic. She's friends with the Archbishop. Maybe Judge Zaney and Gail Benson are friends with each other. Probably not. But either way, it wouldn't surprise me if they were. And it's just like, you know, you say, hey, you've got a problem here. Have you thought about this? And
have either
and
of
no,
you?
And in no way does that mean Judge Zaney is in no way to blame for any of this stuff. He just put the two parties in touch with each other and connection. But
here's
look,
my
if the Archdiocese was smart, they would have sought out the advice of Taysom Hill.
just have Taysom Hill go to the podium and say, "I'm sorry. We're all so sorry." It would work. Could Taysom Hill, Kevin, could Taysom Hill get you out of any crime in New Orleans?
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
You know what? I'm going to refrain from every single potential joke that I have in my arsenal on this, because even if I executed them well, which that's no guarantee, not something I want to put out there. I'm just going to go up and say no, because, you know, like, diddling kids,
I was just thinking, like, but like, if you say you, like, robbed a bank or, like, committed wire fraud, let's say, could you have Taysom Hill hold a press conference in New Orleans and apologize for you, and people would be like, it was just $800,000 of wire fraud, and those old women didn't need the money. I mean, it's fine. Like, could Taysom Hill get you off of crime just by saying that it was okay to do it? I think he could. Like, I think if Taysom Hill told New Orleans that it was okay, you could get away with maybe not murder or sexual assault,
Ralph, look, as the only person on this goddamn podcast who actually lives in New Orleans, let me just say something. There is a dead fucking body dangling over Canal Street right now out of the Hard Rock fucking Hotel, okay? And I mean no disrespect, but that is a fucking fact, okay? And not one damn person has been held accountable for that yet. So I'll be goddamned. Taysom Hill could fucking get a child rapist murderer off in one heartbeat in this goddamn city. And then, you know, don't even get me started.
That was the best executed Hard Rock Hotel collapse joke I think I've ever heard. That's why you listen to this. That's why you listen to this podcast, people.
I'm not even. I'm making a joke. I'm not even making a joke about the Hard Rock Hotel.
I know.
I mean, again, I'm stating facts. Like that. That's just the fucking situation right now. I'm making a joke about the fact that Taysom Hill is just so goddamn gorgeous and so goddamn fucking talented with a football.
We have a plan to have Taysom Hill themed swag. And you people are going to love it and sign up and give us more of your money. And oh, by the way, thanks to you people, my wife had a lot of medical tests. And some of the podcast money went to pay for that. Not going to make any judgments about American healthcare. I'm just going to thank you guys for supporting the show. How about that, Kevin? So
I still need to drink those two IPAs based
do.
On our bet earlier in the season. And I need to do that. But I was reminded today that dessert wine exists, and it reminded me that I hate that even more than IPAs.
Ooh. Dave, okay. Have you taken your tour of Italy at the Olive Garden?
Dessert wine is awful.
Dave, have you taken your tour of Italy yet?
I haven't signed up for my unlimited breadsticks, soup and breadsticks. But that does remind me, Andrew tweeted about his top five hated drinks or whatever. And my buddy Brad, who's in the chat, he thinks your answers were cop outs, man. All IPAs. That's like saying name your least the worst five players on the Saints and just saying wide receivers. No, it doesn't work like that.
That would be factual.
No, or everything at Starbucks, cornerbacks. You know, you got to be more specific.
Here's a question.
There was a day and age, like, rewind before we had Marshawn Lattimore, like 4 or 5 years ago. Cornerback would have been a perfectly acceptable answer.
Here's a question. Here's a question for you, Dave. Traquan Smith, is he going to catch more passes for the 2020 Saints or the 2021 Houston Roughnecks?
Traquan Smith has like kind of become that, this is, and by the way, I think this is the first real Saints content we've had on this podcast so far. And we are now, 40 minutes in here.
He's getting awfully Nick Tooney.
No, I was going to say he's more than that. Traquan Smith seems, he's kind of like a cockroach. Like he's not great, but he just always sticks around. He's now been, this has been what? Three seasons. Yeah.
How many? He's got way more touchdowns than Nick Tune ever did.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. I mean, like, the dude caught Breeze's record breaking pass. I'm starting to feel like we shit on him, but. And he's not the guy that we want to be the number two receiver. It's unfortunate that he's kind of fell into that role, but. Obviously,
I would be perfectly fine with him as number six.
No.
Better Saints career so far, Andrew. Traquan Smith or Joe Morgan?
Traquan Smith has had more of an impact than Joe Morgan.
Yeah.
No, come on. Come on.
I don't know. Joe Morgan gave this show more content. I'll give him that. Because Traquan hasn't been arrested for being drunk in his car. Yet.
And he wore a PSG jacket this offseason.
Wow.
So you get bonus points for that.
All right.
Joe Morgan, 14 career catches.
All right.
3 touchdowns.
Traquan is way above that.
Yeah, probably. Has he ever had 476 yards receiving in a season, though?
Oh.
Yes.
He has not.
Really?
Joe Morgan's best season was better than Traquan's, but Traquan's, he's got 46 catches in 2 years. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
And he already has 10 touchdowns, actually.
Yeah.
10? Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah, he had 5 last as a rookie and 5 this year.
That's what I'm talking about. See, okay, thank you, Andrew. He is, you know, is he great? No. Do we rag on him? Yes. Is some of that deserved? Yes. Is some of that not deserved? Yes. I think that he's he kind of gets a bad rap. I mean, he's been there. He has been there.
Is that how you say the word deserved? You say deserved?
I think in the context that I used it, yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Mentioned Austin Carr. Austin Carr is going to be fantastic in the XFL.
Traquan Smith is the dessert wine of Saints receivers.
Like Manischewitz? Like, come on, be more specific about your dessert wine.
Oh my God.
A port? Is it a port?
Dave dropping food snobbery just right in the podcast, just dropping it all in.
You listen to this podcast because you love sports, you love the Saints, and you probably love to gamble. And if you love to gamble, MyBookie is the best online gambling experience there is. They have the safest online app. You can get a gamble on anything you want. You can get a gamble on the Super Bowl, basketball, the Pelicans, Zion, over under, how many three-pointers he's going to make. You can parlay different sports, any kind of bet you want to make. If you're a degenerate like me, you can parlay the Pelicans with EPL, British soccer. And right now, MyBookie has a special offer for Saints Happy Hour listeners. You get 100% sign-up bonus. That's right. Use the code CHAIR, go to mybookie.ag, and you get 100% sign-up bonus. Put in 200, get the extra 200 to play with. MyBookie.ag is the best online gambling site anywhere. Again, go to mybookie.ag, use the code CHAIR, and get 100% sign-up bonus. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
Twitter questions. We have one more topic, but I want to remind you people, I made a semi-competent instructional video on how to use your custom RSS feed on Patreon.
That's your first mistake.
Yeah. We want you to watch it.
Has anybody double-checked that and make sure that it's accurate?
Yeah, it's good. It's confident. It's there. But I want people, the patrons, to use the custom RSS feed. I did an instructional video. Go to our YouTube channel. Watch it. And if you send us a screenshot of you subscribing using the custom RSS feed in Apple Player or whatever player you use, send us a screenshot of that on Patreon or DM it to us on Twitter. And Dave is going to make a Shy Tuttle pair of socks, and we're going to draw from everybody that sends proof that they use their custom RSS feed, and we're going to give them away to a winner. So use your custom RSS feed, subscribe and use it, send us a screenshot, and you can win some Shy Tuttle socks. How about that?
Well, speaking of specificity, Ralph, when you say Shy Tuttle socks, you're specifically talking about the play where Shy Tuttle stiff arms Matt Ryan. The socks would basically be a transposed screenshot of Shy Tuttle stiff-arming Matt Ryan. Is that correct, Dave?
That's correct. One sock has Shy Tuttle at the moment of stiff-arm from one angle, and the other sock has Shy Tuttle at the moment of stiff-arm from a different angle. So you get both angles on your ankles. 360.
Oh, deception! Oh, deception! Matt Ryan! Oh my God! Wie eine Puppe gibt er den Stiffarm und er fliegt auf den Boden. Hör doch mal auf.
I really want to know what they say right at the end there, where he says that.
What,
that
the hör doch mal auf?
Yeah, that whole sentence. I want to know what that is. And again, I just also want to reiterate, I love that stiff arm in German is also stiff arm. but yes, the Shy Tuttle socks, yeah. So the winner is going to be one of only two people in the entire fucking world that owns this pair of socks, me being the other one. That's invaluable right there. I don't even know how you put a value on this, really.
No, you don't. Speaking of value, before we get to Twitter questions. So, as if you follow politics, you know Michael Bloomberg is going to spend $5 billion running for president. And I was thinking, Kevin, if...
What a waste of fucking money.
If you own the Saints already and you could spend $5 billion to try to win another Super Bowl, what could you do with $5 billion to try to win the Saints a Super Bowl? Now, the salary cap is a salary cap, and you can't buy draft picks, right? But couldn't you do, like, Batman-type shit of just trying to steal, trying to hack into their iPads and do all kinds of crazy shit? I feel like with $5 billion to spend, I could figure out a way to cheat my way to a second Lombardi Trophy for the Saints.
Well, I think you guys are overthinking it. I mean, I think y'all are overthinking things. It's just bribery. I mean, it's like, look, we don't need intricate hacking systems and all this other stuff. It's basically, look, here's a fucking paper bag of crisp $100 bills.
Edward Edwards style in the freezer.
Yeah. Like, this isn't rocket science. It's money.
Well, and the problem with hacking, too, is like...
Pay that man his money.
You're just giving yourself an advantage. You still never know what can happen out on the football field. The football could bounce a weird way, and all your cheating still goes up in flames.
Andrew, if you were going to bribe people, do you start with the refs, or do you go other team? Because you got
that's the question.
Billion.
That's the question. Where do you spend your $5 billion? How do you allot it? Who do you give it to? Where is it going to be best?
I don't know. It worked pretty well for the Rams to start with the refs.
Or do you – see, I would think you could bribe another team's medical staff to give bad advice. Because if you have, I mean, when you're talking $5 billion, like a doctor, they'll be ethical to a point. But if you start offering seven figures to misdiagnose Pat Mahomes' shoulder, like, then you start getting into some gray areas and people will do questionable moral things. Right, Kevin? I mean,
that's a, you see, now you're thinking. Now you're thinking. That's how you do it. Hmm. I like Dave just straight up or Jude just straight up saying you bribe the officials. I like you taking it to the next level and saying, no, bribe the opposing team's medical staffs. That's good.
Shouldn't we just hire a hitman at this point?
No. You know what would also be good? Kansas City almost had to forfeit the game against the Patriots because their equipment didn't make it to Foxborough and they had to it went to New Jersey or something and they barely got it there in time. You could bribe airlines.
When
and
was
like,
this?
Like the people that put the luggage on the plane and they'd be like, oh, it's the NFC Championship, but the Eagles, their equipment isn't here. What happened? Oh, I guess you have to forfeit. Like, see, I like this idea. This is a better topic than I thought. Like the evil chicanery that we can come up with $5 billion. I think bribing, Kevin, I think even we'd still come on out under budget. Like I think I just straight up bribery.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think
you said $5 billion. Like that's 5,000 million.
I think we can get it done with 500 million.
You think?
Good, at least money for a Taysom Hill raise. Perfect.
Okay, well, so Andrew, so you mentioned Taysom Hill. So I was thinking a whole nother thing when Ralph asked this or texted this. So I was thinking we can clone, right? We have that technology.
That's a good call.
So we spend it and we just clone 22 Taysom Hills. And we've got a whole football team of Taysom Hills, and then
you could have him at quarterback, running back, receiver, and tight end all on the same play.
Do you clone him, or do you Captain America him, Kevin? Because if you got $5 billion, can't you come up with the technology to like put him in the Captain America chamber and like make him a superhero? Like cloning, that's nice and all, but can't you up it a little?
Right. But here's the thing, though. Like, why would you put a superhero in the Captain America chamber? Like, really, what we should be doing is putting Tommy Lee Lewis in the Captain America chamber
I'm offended. This is off the rails. This is so this is not realistic. Ralph, you're implying that Taysom Hill isn't already a superhero, and I'm offended.
Wait a minute. Maybe we should clone and make 22 Alex Anzalone's, and then maybe one of them might stay healthy for a fucking season. That's like a 5% chance.
You've got a 5% chance there. Have y'all ever seen the movie The Prestige?
Yes. No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. It's not really for us. It's whoever's listening. If any of you have seen the movie The Prestige, we just do that, but with Alex Anzalone. So when the first Alex Anzalone inevitably gets sprained or gets injured or has something happen, we, you know, toss that one out and we bring in Alex Anzalone number two. And then when that one blows out its quad, we dump that one, bring in the third one, and so on and so forth.
You're talking about multiplicity.
Yeah. I mean, these variety of injuries, let's be real here. It's the rotator cuff, all right?
First of all, you're talking about multiplicity with Michael Keaton. And the problem is that with each extra clone, the gene pool gets worse. And so they dumber, slower, and stupider.
So like, if
what happened at the end of The Prestige here for Dave?
You're saying clone 25 of Taysom Hill is going to be closer to my physical skills than original Taysom Hill.
That's right. The last Taysom Hill off the line is going to be more like Ralph.
Okay. I like your theory. Your theory works better more for comedic purposes. I'm just saying I'm going to explain the Prestige thing. So the Prestige has Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman. They're competing magicians in the, late 19th, early 20th century. Hugh Jackman goes somehow or another. Hugh Jackman gets a machine from Nikola Tesla that creates a clone of him that he uses for magic purposes. Now, what he does with this is look, it sounds stupid when I'm saying it, but trust me, when you watch it, it's entertaining.
This is both the greatest and the stupidest podcast ever.
Yeah.
It only took 50 minutes to get us to our sweet spot of nonsense. All right. Before we get out of here, we got to get.
Wait, Kevin didn't finish.
Oh, Lord. Right. So the trick is Hugh Jackman is that Hugh Jackman's clone ends up dying every time. But the thing is that the experiment creates a new clone of Hugh Jackman every time, but they keep dying. And so Hugh Jackman does is he does the magic trick, a clone gets created, and the clone dies. And Hugh Jackman just doesn't care. It's like, oh, okay, well, let's wheel this dead body out and do the next trick for the next show and so on and so forth. That's all. In hindsight, your multiplicity reference works a lot better because it ultimately results in us making fun of Ralph.
Right.
Yeah. Here's a
Who's
question.
Who's the movie master now?
I love this topic. We should have done this topic to start the podcast. Who knew the mic, how to spend $5 billion would end in Taysom Hill clone that's physically the equivalent of me and Kevin talking about dumping dead bodies in a river?
Let's just back up. Not all the clones are like you. Just the ones like later, like the 20, number 20, 21, 22.
Yeah, you can't like.
Yeah, someone in the chat said that Scott Anzalone or Alex Anzalone clone number four would be Adam Big Hill.
Eventually, the Hazlitt linebackers would just start appearing. Like C. Grant would just come out of the chamber. You'd be like, "What? What happened? James Allen? We cloned DeMario Davis too many times.
Courtney Watson,
Alfred Fincher. What the fuck?" We are not getting our money's worth.
I'm trying to clone Davis. Why do I keep getting Hazlitt linebackers?
C. Grant!
Chris Bordano, oh my god, hit the reset button.
Courtney Watson!
Remember when we did that bracket and every Hazlitt linebacker was was one of the contestants?
We merged them into one. We
need How did that not win?
We need to start thinking of a bracket for...
no more brackets.
Oh, it's coming.
Oh, it's coming. Dave, what the fuck are we going to do in June? All right?
I don't know. We got... talk about beer and food.
All right. We completely went off the rails, but... I'm going to save this question. Well, I can't save this question from Jed, but I'm going to switch it up a little bit. Since it's President's Day, which saint from any era would make the worst president?
Jeremy Shockey.
I mean, if you can go like owner,
Jeremy
I mean,
Shockey would. I feel like Jeremy Shockey would be pretty much like what we have now. So I don't think. It could be
I
that
mean, John Meekum would be pretty awful if I can go ownership. I mean, he ran the Saints into the ground and then proceeded to go deeper. Kobe Buckwal.
if we hadn't signed, if we had signed Antonio Brown, that would have been my answer.
I'm trying to think. I have it. The worst possible Saints president.
And Ricky Jackson. Looks the way he
Andre
talks.
Jesus. Royal. I mean.
Not bad.
That's a strong answer.
I don't know. I think my answer of Darren Sharper is way better. Would not
no,
be
because
a convicted rapist as
no,
a
because they'd impeach Sharper. He wouldn't last but like a year. But like Andre Royal, he could serve out the term and do horrible damage.
Oh yeah, Junior Gillette is a
woo.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
I don't know how we missed that.
Junior Gillette, yeah. That, I think that Junior Gillette was Kyle Turley might not be so bad. But anyway, as we wrap up this show, Albert Connell, Russell Erksleben, man, both felons. That's strong. That's strong.
I'm really disappointed to not hear the words Ted Gregory out of Kevin's mouth.
I was waiting. you all didn't hear me laugh the second Ralph asked that question.
I was just waiting for you to just start blurting out.
Ted Gregory would William Henry Harrison himself.
Oh.
You guys want to go see a dead body?
Oh, Lord. So.
I mean, that'd be it. He'd take the oath of office and just fall off the goddamn grandstand.
People sometimes ask me, they say, you know, if they recognize me out in New Orleans, they'll say, when's the most fun to do the podcast? And I say,
wait a minute, who's
people
who's
know me now? They see me in the airport. They're like, you're the guy on Channel 4 that doesn't look at the camera ever. I'm like, yeah, that's me. But they tell them, they ask me, when's it most fun?
How many times has that happened?
Dude, it's happened.
You're the guy who looks like you're filming a hostage video at your own home.
It is. Why do you let Eric Paulson insult you? No, every time I fly in for a Saints game, it pretty much happens when I'm going through the airport.
You gotta be kidding.
I'm not kidding. I love them because they come up to me, and if they're waiting for a flight with like me, they buy me booze. It's great.
Oh, wow. You've got drinks out of this.
I
Dave,
love it.
Consider the source here. This is the same guy that says that he gets 57 emails from people. Not tweets, not Facebook messages, nothing on social media, but emails.
I do. My reading. Channel 4 skews older.
Older. Yeah, well, we know that. We know that.
You know,
very
old. Very old. What do you want? So, I forgot. I lost my.
Am I allowed to pick Eric Paulson as president?
Wait, his worst president?
Yeah.
Yeah, Eric Paulson's going to be a worse president than Darren Sharper?
I think so.
Giants suit jackets for everybody.
You just want Eric Paulson to do State of the Union and insult me for 45 minutes. That's the only reason you want Eric Paulson to be president.
Yes.
No, I was going to say, they asked me when's the most fun to do the podcast, and I say in the off season when we go completely off the rails, which...
Totally. This is what I like. I don't like to be asked serious, factual questions about the Saints, about the team itself.
There's none of this. We have no breaking news to talk about. Literally, all right? We will, because Loomis will go YOLO, but we don't now. So we got completely
YOLO.
We got completely ridiculous tonight, and I have to say,
that's why we are who we are, though, man.
Yeah, we are.
That's why you're a patron. That's why you donate to the podcast.
That's why
you love us.
You help pay the Marlboro family medical bills, and we love you for it.
I'm really just thankful Ralph didn't play the Stand By Me Dead Body sound clip when I was talking about the Hard Rock Hotel. Thank God Ralph didn't do that.
Don't give him any ideas.
This podcast needs to wrap up because it's in the ditch. So for Kevin, for Dave, for Andrew, thanks for joining us. Until next week, the bar is closed.
The Prestige was really a good movie.